Front page of today's The award-winning Detroit News. Governor plans sin taxes, tapping savings to balance the budget. This was released yesterday, and we're going to ask State Representative, the Republican from the 49th District, Ann Bolin, to give us her thoughts on the budget, and then also talk a little bit about the fact that she testified in front of Congress on election integrity earlier this week. Representative Bolin, welcome to the Paul W. Smith Focus Show.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
The thing that caught my attention that really made me, I mean, the fact that one headline is Whitmer has tax cuts for some, tax hikes for others, that's normal. The governor plans sin taxes, that's kind of normal too. It's easy to go after sin taxes. But tapping savings to balance the budget? Please tell me that isn't what it sounds like.
Well, that is what it sounds like. That is what the governor has proposed. But I will tell you that I do not think that we are in a state of an emergency and that we need to be pulling from our rainy day fund. We worked very hard over the last number of years to build that up to over, $2 billion for the purposes of a rainy day. I don't think we're in that situation. I think that the governor has, presented $800 million in new revenue, and I think where we need to do to balance the budget is find $800 million worth of cuts before we even entertain any taxes. And well, again, some of the taxes are for some.
I have to tell you, that's good news, because I didn't read it initially as taking $400 million out of the rainy day fund. I honestly looked at it and thought, well, it's come to this. Those of us who have worked all our lives, 60 years or more, to save money so that we do not become an anchor on our family or our government, so that we can pay for our retirement, I thought she meant she was going to go after the savings we have and retax them. That's how scared I got.
Well,
our individual savings.
No. But you know what? The government has no money of its own. So digging into the savings bank of the state, I mean, that ultimately can harm people across the state of Michigan. So we need to work very hard. Life is getting less and less affordable for people across Michigan. And there are some proposals in there that we're going to try to offer tax cuts the governor's proposing, school supply tax credit holidays for an abbreviated period in the fall around the start of school. Well, that benefits only families that have children in school. Senior citizen property tax cut in the form of an income tax credit with an income of $71,000 or lower. That benefits just, a small portion of seniors. And what I will be looking for in developing the state budget is, one, making sure it's fiscally responsible and sustainable, but two, trying to give across-the-board measures that are going to make life more affordable for people across the state.
Well, God bless you for that. We need that. And on the sin tax, it's hard for anybody to try to. It's sad and unfortunate if you smoke cigarettes. I mean, it just is, because it's not good for you. And you're beyond the age now where back in the day when my dad started smoking, they actually told him it was good for him to smoke. That's been long gone. So it's going to be hard for anybody to fight that part of a sin tax on tobacco, for example. Now they're going after the younger people with some tax money they hope to make, $95 million in new revenue, from a tax hike on vaping products. People shouldn't be vaping anyway. Those things are made in China. Who knows what you're bringing into your system? It's not good for you. I can just tell you that. I said it from the day.
Yes. They are very harmful to your health, but there are other things, other taxes with digital advertising, iGaming, just to bring it up to par with other states. And all of this is to shore up the Medicaid shortage. All right. And I think that first, how we have to address the Medicaid, one, I want to take care of our most vulnerable. All right. That's extremely important that we have access to quality health care for everybody across the state. We have great health care available to us, but we need to make sure it's more accessible across the state. And lots of innovation in the way we practice health. But we have to make sure that we have, you know, people who truly do need Medicaid are the ones that are on it, that it is reasonable and sound benefit, that, you know, what you would buy in a commercial insurance is what we should be providing. And I do think there's ways that we can cut our Medicaid costs before we're trying to increase taxes to make up for the shortfall. We have to find the waste and fraud and, again, make sure that we can deliver to those that are most vulnerable.
I want to get to what we originally asked you to come on for before this was released yesterday, the new budget. But you, Representative Boland, I'll tell my listeners, Representative Boland is a longtime advocate for strengthening elections and improving public confidence in the democratic process, which is why she offered congressional testimony before the U.S. House Committee on House Administration in Washington, D.C., which has oversight authority over federal elections. Tell us how that went. I hope it went better with more civility than what we just watched on television over the last couple of days with the hearings in Washington. How did yours go?
Well, I think it went very well. It was a very different experience to be in front of a congressional committee. You know, I was hoping to ask questions, but I did submit written testimony, and really the subject was, you know, we hear a lot about President Trump saying federalizing elections. I do not support federalizing elections, and I do not think that's the intent of the president at all. What I do think we need is universal baseline standards across this great nation. We have done this before. We did it with the NVRA. We did it when we, after the 2000 presidential election with the hanging chance and adopted the Help America Vote Act. We've done it with the Military and Overseas Voters Act. We've done this before to alleviate the confusion and to develop the standards. We all want to strengthen elections. The goal has to be every eligible voter can vote freely, secretly, independently, and securely. And we want U.S. citizens voting in our U.S. elections. And we need proof of, you know, photo ID, proof of citizenship. These are not high threshold measures at all, and I think that
anyone who says that having an ID required is basically racist and putting down people to make us believe that those people they're representing and protecting aren't smart enough to know how to get an ID. That is racist in its by itself. And to fight an ID required for something as important as voting really sheds a light on what these people are actually up to and how wrong they are. I'll quote you because we got to go. Election integrity is a broad term, and it has become a divisive label that fuels assumptions about people's motives. If someone speaks in favor of election integrity, they are branded with a MAGA label or called an election denier. If someone raises concerns about access, they're accused of ignoring security. That dynamic erodes trust and distracts from the shared goal, what should be the shared goal, of strong elections. God bless you for the fight you're fighting. Keep up the good work, State Representative, Republican 49th District, Ann Boland. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you so much. Have a great afternoon.
You do the same as we continue, and you continue on your way to making each and every day count, because you know each day is a gift.